Hi, I'm Daisy Morris. I'm the founder of The Selfhood and author of Community is Your Currency. And this is Untalented by Unknown by Canva.
Imagine I am a 10-year-old and explain to me what you do.
I create worlds for brands and for people, for other people to feel connected within. And the way that we do that is through social media content, videos explaining what's happening in the world of the online and offline community space. And I have a book that also describes and helps people how to do that.
What would you say is something that has helped you move faster in your career?
Ironically, something that has helped me move much faster in the last 2 or 3 years is actually resting. And I used to have this illusion that more hours equaled more success, and that working faster and working more and more and more quickly, quickly, quickly is what would get me there. And actually, it did the opposite. And allowing myself creative thinking space and buffer days between big projects and just time to really get inspired off my screen has just catapulted my creativity. And the business grew when I slowed down a little bit. So I'm like, we should be prescribing rest.
What can the top earner in your industry expect to earn?
High tier content creators can be earning millions and millions and millions. Like, it's the sky's the limit. I think content creators are the new celebrities. So that it's such a fruitful industry. But yeah, you're talking millions. Like, content creators are literally like millionaires now. Agencies, again, like, depending on the scale, I think digital and content creation has completely democratized the way that we create online. So I also think if you're listening to this and you've got no followers or you've got 100, like, there is so much opportunity out there to make lots and lots of money, but it's hard to put a figure on because it's so scalable and it depends on how big you are within that world.
What's one social media trend you wish would disappear?
I personally have reached trend fatigue. I'm so bored of seeing brands just jump on trends for the sake of it. And creators, I think they can lend themselves well for like top of funnel awareness. So if you're trying to reach new audiences and get seen, but I have this mentality in the way that I advise clients is like, what are they remembering? The trend or you as a brand? So we always advise clients to treat trends like salt. So they're perfect to have on the table, but the meal should not be centered around it. Just a little bit. And if you overdo it, it spoils the whole meal and it goes in the bin. So I would say, don't be salty with trends. Like, just give it a little sprinkle. But one that I really dislike because it's just been overdone is when people post, like, my boss said that they'll promote me if I go viral, make this post blow up. Because it's just kind of like, it's been so done and it kind of dips into the like boss team hierarchy thing. And I just think, like, I think there's more innovation to be had. And I love brands. There's a brand called Craig Hill. I mean, it's this really kind of like artsy premium content that's not trend led at all. And they're seeing huge success. So I think you can, as a brand, not play into that like short form, like clickbaity content and still do really well.
What is your favorite platform for authentic community building?
It's changed, but right now I'd say Substack. I absolutely love Substack. There's a completely different energy there. I feel like the content feels more considered and curated and intentional, and so much love goes into the posts that people make. It's not like people are there to go viral. And I've read the most incredible essays from people who have like under 50 subscribers. So it feels like early days of internet, and the people on Substack feel super supportive as well. Like, yeah, just it just feels like a really considered space and it doesn't feel chaotic.
What is one piece of advice you'd give your younger self starting out in digital marketing?
Is to not let the opinions of others get in your way. I teach a lot at universities and I speak to students, and there is a confidence crisis happening amongst young people. And I think because we're so aware of how public social media is now, like, I'm a millennial and Facebook was very much at the forefront of just my life in general, but we weren't so aware of how like on blast everything was. Whereas I feel like now there's this such a like big need for acceptance among young people that they're too scared to show that they're bothered about their careers and share on LinkedIn. Like, they have this real fear of the cringe, and like there's this real love for millennials at the minute. It's like, oh, millennials don't care about being cringe, and it's like we kind of had to be to pave the way and to get to where we are. So I think for young people, especially like Gen Z, like, don't be afraid to go after what you really, really want. And I always say that anyone who has a problem with you going after what you want is usually just like deeply insecure and reflecting that back onto you. And it would be such a shame to miss out on opportunities because you were scared of what someone else might think of you. They might not even think that about you. So I think just be a bit fearless and let your future be in your own hands. Go for what you really want.
How do you differentiate between building an audience and cultivating a community?
For me, an audience is a one-way dialogue. So they might like your posts, comment, reply to emails, but it's very much a one-way conversation between you and that person. And they may not necessarily be completely loyal to you. They might go to a competitor. Whereas a community is something that you are the facilitator of, and you might not always be at the forefront of that. All communities, whether it's brands or like IRL communities that people are building, need a leader. So there absolutely needs to be someone that's initiating that conversation, driving the meetups, driving the engagement. But you are the connecting thread that unites other people. And it's actually less about you and what you have to say and more about what you can give to others. They are deeply non-transactional. So it's about giving. And you can absolutely monetize a community. And that's not to say that you can't ask your community to buy from you. But the misconception that I see people have with audience versus community is that anyone can have a community and everyone's got a community. If you really drill down into it, that's not the case. And like jumping on a website and a pop-up appearing saying, join the community, that's not community building. That's bringing someone into an ad funnel. Like really, that's what it is. You can nurture a community that way, but to assume that someone is part of something they haven't signed up for yet is an absolute no-go. So yeah, it's more about facilitation versus broadcasting.
What are the biggest challenges brands face when trying to humanize their online presence?
I think there's just a lot of noise at the minute, and a lot of brands are just making noise without real intentional thought behind what they're putting out there and actually understanding what their communities want. And because they're typically faceless, a lot of them will use scattergun creator campaigns, and actually in order to build trust within a community, you need repetition. So you need to see the same people over and over again. So I think brands that do it really well are the ones that work with the same creators over again, build real ambassadors within that community and make the creators feel part of their brand, really bring them into the universe. And then they kind of build this cultural currency through association. Whereas a lot of brands will just work with lots of high-tier influencers, scattergun gifting and different campaigns, and then you're almost confused about like where this brand is actually going and who's actually associated with them. So I think it's about familiarity and repetition, but that's quite hard to do as a brand because you're faceless. So you either work with your employees or your creators, but a lot of employees don't want to be on camera, which is completely fair. So I think it's also about really working out what a successful EGC strategy could look like. And really making sure there's incentives for the team if they do want to be the face of the brand. But it's about human experiences, but also looking at your brand ecosystem. So not just using awareness strategies like Instagram and TikTok, like do you have an intimate space you can connect with them? Are you doing events, mailing list, Discord channels, if that feels right? And if so, like what is the purpose and the intention behind that?
How has your approach to social media strategy evolved with the rise of new platforms and changing user behavior?
I used to be really active on Instagram, and I found that the more I deepened my research and the more I was connecting people in person, I pivoted over the last year, and now a big strand of my community building strategy is connecting people in person. My area of specialism is community, and we're in a loneliness epidemic. So for me as a facilitator, it's really important that I recognize these trends and this desire for using social media as a vehicle to real meaningful connection. So lots of in-person events, long form content. So I've made the switch and I post more regularly on LinkedIn now just because I think it's easier to get a more well thought out point across on LinkedIn because it lends itself to longer form.
What would be the slogan of your life?
Don't overthink it, just do it, which is really, I'm kind of like hijacking Nike there, but I am so impulsive. When I get an idea, I just do it. Like I just opened a content studio with my partner, and I had the idea on the Sunday, and he was like, let's just think about it. On the Monday, we went to view the place. By the Thursday, we'd signed the lease. And I just think like, if you get an impulse about something that really excites you, just do it and you will figure it out. And I think, yeah, I kind of live my life by that. So yeah, a bit of a cliche one, but yeah, I think just do the things you love and it will all work out.
What is the most unhinged thing you've asked ChatGPT?
I'm such an advocate for like in-person therapy, but some of my friends were like, oh, I just use it for like a little bit of sprinkling of like pep talks in between. And I asked it for a bit of a pep talk, but it actually made me feel really weird. And also, it's just a bit too agreeable for me. Like, my therapist will challenge me, and I'm like, yeah, I need that. Whereas ChatGPT is like, you sound like such a great person. And I'm like, no, I need to be challenged on this. So, yeah, won't be using ChatGPT as a therapist. But I do think, from what I hear from friends and what I've been reading about it online, it can be a nice little kind of, if you need a little bit of a boost, it can be that, but I personally wouldn't advise using it for that reason.